Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Bet Sweats, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. PJ Glasser and Kate Constable here with you. A couple hours left to go on the show. We're going to talk about Week 17 in the NFL coming up. We already got lines for next week's game out. We got a triple header on Christmas, so Kate and I will look at the board, give out some of our early thoughts with only a couple weeks to go left in the regular season. And then we'll talk some college football on the show as well. We got a huge week of bowl season upcoming, and the quarterfinals of the college football playoff are set as well. So we'll talk about all that over the next 2 hours here on Bet Sweats. But now it's time to check in with our guest. Joins us every Monday, Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as well. Give Jason a follow on X at Jason Lockenfora. Jason, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Let's start there with the Ravens. Another disappointing loss last night, another double-digit blown fourth quarter lead. And the big talking point is John Harbaugh. And it certainly feels like from a media standpoint, maybe the Ravens moving on at the end of the season is starting to build. But I mean, what do you think? He's been there 18 years. He just signed that extension in the offseason. Do you think the Ravens exactly. are going to move on from Harbaugh at the end of the season?
Well, it's look, it's an audience of one. It's Steve Bisciotti. That's all that matters. And Steve Bisciotti's own record, the last time he talked to select invited media, who he talked to at a league meeting 4 or 5 years ago, he made it clear he wanted a sweetheart lease. He better get everything he wants to fix up his stadium from the state of Maryland. Otherwise, he was going to sell the team. And he made it clear he's not in the team will not be bequeathed to anyone. It's not staying in the family. He's not enjoying this as much as he used to. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's basically what he said. Oh, yeah, Lamar doesn't think he's worth my money yet. And I'm going to sell the thing. Like, I'm going to make a lot of money selling this thing. And, like, when I'm, you know, when it's time and it's sooner rather than later, I'm just going to sell it. So, like, he didn't sound like a guy who wanted to reboot and start over. And the interesting thing about to me about Harbaugh is, why would Eric DaCosta get to hire a coach? Like, what's Eric DaCosta done since he was GM that would make you say he shouldn't be gone? Like, if you are rebooting and you're changing your football culture and you're going to go in a different direction, why would you keep bringing back a GM who refuses to do anything to address his pass rush, who is horrible identifying pass rush in the draft? They just traded Elway. Like, they couldn't do anything with Elway. Elway goes to the Chargers. He's their best pass rusher. And these guys acquired a not very good safety who can't tackle, who can't cover. But, like, he knows where people are supposed to be lined up, I guess. Elohi Gilman really didn't have a future with the Chargers. Like, that's what they did at the deadline. So Aloy Gilman could get picked on by mercilessly by Drake May. Like, the GM's kind of fraudulent. But he's got everybody in the media bamboozled. Like, every year he'll get an A for his draft. Every year he'll get all A's and B pluses from, you know, his buddies in the media. But, like, they're the worst fourth quarter defense the last 5 years. Like, we can take it back. Wink Martindale, the great Mike McDonald, who is great, had a terrible worst fourth quarter defense in 2 years he was here. And now Zach Orr, over his 2 years here, has the worst fourth quarter defense. You could look at touchdowns allowed, passing touchdowns allowed, I should say. You could look at EPA. So maybe they don't have players. Maybe when you build a team that's filled with defensive backs who don't make plays on the ball, when you take Roquan Smith, who's a total liability in the pass game, and you give him $20 million a year, and then nobody wants to run on you because they can throw all day, when you have no pass rushers worth a damn, maybe that's the problem. Maybe your overarching organizational philosophy, maybe you're not smarter than everybody else. When you refuse to engage in free agency, but you hoard comp picks who turn into nothing burgers, maybe you're part of the problem. So, I mean, look, should he reboot? Sure. Do I think this guy who's looking towards $6 million, $6 billion for a franchise that he bought into for $700 million, do I think he wants to fly all over the country interviewing 35-year-old wannabes? Like, do I think he's going to think any of those guys are better than Harbaugh? I'm not sure he's wired that way. But if he is, he should throw his GM out too.
Jason, the team that the Ravens beat yesterday, the Patriots, what do you think about them going forward in the postseason? Right now, they're in the number two spot. Like, is that a team that can win a Super Bowl this year?
I think, again, like, you've got to look at this for what it is. The Ravens' defense is a joke. Quality quarterbacks have eviscerated them all year with one exception. Joe Burrow in the freezing cold a week ago when he clearly didn't want to play football. He wasn't going to play football. Had no interest in playing football. But, like, everybody else has eviscerated them. So it was huge for their psyche to bounce back from the Buffalo game. I mean, I think they gained a lot of confidence. Like, the game started poorly. If it snowballed the wrong way and they lost that game, I think they were a one and done. But do I see enough individual pass rush brilliance? Do I see enough blue chip players? Like, you're not going to be able to beat good defenses with good schemes, with real pass rushers, with real defensive backs, you know, throwing 12 times to Diggs and coming down, you know, with 15.3 per reception. That doesn't happen against real defenses. Certainly not going to happen on the road against real defenses in the playoffs. So I do think there'll be lessons to learn in the playoffs. They're way ahead of schedule. But they also, the injuries they suffered in that game, I mean, the offensive line is wiped out. Again, if real teams who Draymond Jones isn't their best pass rusher, that's going to be, like, I think that the issues to the tackles are going to be a problem. If Henderson's out for any period of time, that takes away explosives in the run game and the pass game. Vrabel will have them ready to play. They will get off on being the little engine that could. And, like, I don't think they're going to be an easy out in Foxborough, but I just don't know if they have the horses yet at the premier, most important positions, right? Protecting the quarterback, tackles, attacking the other team's quarterback off the edge. They got to get the, you know, they got to get healthier on the D line. But I'm incredibly impressed by what they've done. Drake May, that was absolutely masterful stuff, leading, you know, a comeback like that. Again, I mean, the Ravens are a historically bad fourth quarter team. Like, they blow double digit fourth quarter leads like nobody in the history of this game. But yeah, I think they'll be an interesting team in the playoffs. Will I be picking them, you know, in futures to make a Super Bowl or anything like that? I won't.
We're talking with Jason Lockenfora here on BetSweats. Give Jason a follow on X at Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider. Another team with an impressive win in the AFC yesterday, Jason, was Jacksonville. You know, a team that a lot of people feel like a little bit fraudulent. They go into Denver. Trevor Lawrence looks great. They win by a couple touchdowns. What do you make of the Jags? I mean, is that a team that's good enough to get to a Super Bowl?
Wow. Year one, you know, first time – coordinator, first time head coach. I don't think so. I think, again, they're a tough out. Trevor Lawrence is playing, like, I mean, it's beyond winning football. He's playing almost sort of unimpeachable football. they've activated his legs in a more robust way. And you go back and look at what he did in Clemson. Legs set a lot of things up. The RPOs, I mean, that was where it was at. That was what they were doing primarily. The defense had to get healthier again at the linebacker position. They have. Obviously, turnovers are the key there. Is that something that eventually ebbs and flows? I don't know, but it's kind of like the Patriots. It's a young team that don't know what they don't know, that are playing at a million miles an hour. They're one of these teams where the whole is greater than the sum of all its parts. I mean, I'm not thoroughly surprised by it. You know, I put some tickets on them to win the division before they played the Chiefs. That was a ways back because I thought they were going to beat the Chiefs in that game. And I thought they had a chance to be a lot better than the markets were still kind of indicating. And I talked to a lot of smart people in this league who told me that D coordinator is the real deal, man. Like, he has completely all that changed the culture stuff. Like, it was real there. And that's borne out to be the case. Again, do I think they'll be the last team standing? I don't think so. But then you look at this AFC field and it's like, I don't know. You know, who do you really stump for? Like, it's kind of like this better be Josh Allen's year, right? Like, it probably better be, should be Josh Allen's year.
Yeah, it's certainly the easiest path Allen has had in quite some years without a lot of those top quarterbacks in the running in the AFC. This AFC team, Jason, the Steelers, quite the win yesterday. Like, can you, did you understand what happened down the stretch there? The call that the refs made, like, it's a touchdown by Jared Goff, but it was an offensive pass interference and no time. So it's not a touchdown, game over. Like, we had a lot of wild endings in week 16, but maybe none wilder than how this Lions-Steelers game came down.
Look, the NFL has a massive officiating issue here. There's no transparency. Like, I talked to people in the Steelers front office this morning. They don't know who was in the room at Park Avenue to convey to those officials what was going on. Like, they don't even, like, they don't even know who was communicating with whom to read. Like, the league doesn't know. Like, and many teams have asked, like, hey, when in our window, when we're playing, who's in the room? Who's in central officiating? Like, are there interns walking in and out? Like, is Troy Vincent and other people from football operations? Is it just people from the refereeing department? What's the chain of command? Who reports to whom and who's conferring with whom? Before you get in the, you know, before Big Brother calls down to the, they don't know. They run these teams. They don't know. How is that good enough? How is that what we're doing? So nothing will surprise me. Clearly OPI, somewhere there's a memo or somewhere there was a conference call where this was the week where we clamped down on OPI. What happened there? First of all, how do they rule on the field that's a touchdown? Like, what's happened? Now we don't know what a catch is anymore, like the likely thing. And there's no forward, like, forward progress isn't common sense anymore. Like, when a player's pushed back 6 yards, I'm 52 years old. I've been watching this since 1979. And I'm told by numerous people the whistle was blew on the field, too, before he pitched the ball. So how is that even, how was anybody there saying that that a touchdown should even be in play? Like, how is that even part of the equation? He never broke the plane, the ball catcher. He clearly, his forward progress was stopped. He's pushed back almost to the 6 yard line. I can't ask me questions about NFL officiating because they don't. The people on the sidelines coaching these games and the people in the booth sitting with their owners trying to explain to them why they're doing this and why they're doing that don't know who the people on the field are talking to.
Jason, we got about 3 minutes
Happy
left.
Playoffs, everybody.
Yeah, seriously. We've talked a lot about the AFC. I want to get your thoughts on the NFC because with the Rams losing to Seattle, there's a good chance now that the Rams are going to be a wild card team. They might have to go on the road to a place like Philly, maybe back to Seattle, maybe go to Chicago. They're going to have to play in some cold weather cities. They're still the favorite to win the Super Bowl, to win the NFC. 2.5 minutes, are the Rams still your pick as of now to win the NFC, or would you go with somebody else?
I'm looking at the board there. What does that say? Plus 225. I would have a hard time not picking them. I mean, I'm thinking, and as someone who's sitting on a fair number of Rams tickets, hoping that firing the special teams coach was a shot across the bow. Now, they still don't have a kicker. I mean, that's a problem. But special teams have been a big part of this. And it's interesting, that whole family tree. San Francisco special teams are always garbage. Green Bay special teams are always garbage. And the Rams, like, you look at that Shanahan McVay family tree, and none of them have really been able to get it right consistently from a special team standpoint. I don't think Stafford has a problem playing in the rain. I mean, I think this is more coincidental than anything else. I mean, he was due to throw an interception. Do I think he threw an interception in Carolina because of the rain? I don't. I've seen him personally play in the rain several times, play in the cold. I don't think it bothers him. He was in the NFC North forever, played a lot of outdoor games in weather. I just think they take their foot off the gas. I think they go prevent too soon. They just, and offensively as well, a little too, you know, let's just close this out. And it bites them. At some point, I guess that worm turns. But I look at that field, they've been better than the Eagles twice now. I know they haven't won either game, but they've been better than the Eagles twice in Philadelphia. Do I think they lose a third time to them? I don't. I mean, I don't. Probably not. Yeah, I still like them.
Yeah. I think it's fair. I mean, they certainly passed the eye test, both the AFC and NFC playoff pictures. Can't wait for it. Jason Lockenfour, Odyssey NFL Insider. Check him out, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Inside Access, and give him a follow on X at Jason Lockenfour. Jason, always appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your week. Happy holidays. Catch up with you again soon.
Happy holidays, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, great Jason. Stuff there. From Jason, we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to talk some more NFL. We've talked plenty about week 16. We're going to look ahead to week 17 and any initial games that catch our eye. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable, this is Bet Sweats.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back to Bet Sweats. PJ Glasser, Kate Constable with you. We got the Week 17 odds for it up in the NFL. We're going to talk some college football upcoming. We've got a big week of bowl games upcoming, and then, of course, the college football playoff, Ohio State, Miami, New Year's Eve, and then the triple header on New Year's Day. We got some really fun matchups, so we will dive into that. But NFL Week 17, Kate, we're getting to the part of the year. During commercial break, you, myself, our producer, Zach Kroll, we're all trying to figure out, like, quarterbacks that are starting, the clinching scenarios, all these sorts of things. And it's really interesting. I think just from a standpoint of, like, watchability, like, which game are you most excited for? Certainly the two that pop out right away. I mean, Niners-Bears next week on Sunday Night Football is going to be awesome. But Texans and Chargers is going to be a really fun game. The Chargers, I've been really impressed with them. You know, all the injuries that they've withstood and these last couple weeks, you know, that overtime win against the Eagles, and then they go on the road and they go to Arrowhead and they end Kansas City's season. And then they're an underdog yesterday to Dallas, and like that line doesn't make any sense. And they completely dominate in the second half to win that game. Now they're a small favorite at home against Houston. They're -120. And, you know, this is the Texans' second trip out to SoFi. They played the Rams back in week one. So that's always interesting. We saw the Colts do that earlier in the year where they played the Chargers and the Rams both on the road. They won both of those, or they lost to the Rams and then went back and they won against the Chargers. So the Texans are trying to do the same thing. So that's really interesting. Putting your fandom aside, obviously, as a Bears fan, but maybe you can't. Maybe it's too hard. But which game are you more excited for, Bears, Niners, or Texans, Chargers?
I mean, when you ask me to put the fandom aside, I still kind of think Bears, Niners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't put the fandom aside, PJ.
I know. I was going to say it's too hard.
More fun team to watch, because I think you're going to get more offense in that Bears Niners games than you do in the Texans Chargers. So if you want more action, I think that Niners game is going to be a fun one. Texans and Chargers, I feel like I'm worried about the Chargers with just how good the Texans defense is. I mean, especially thinking back to last year's postseason. I mean, the Chargers got destroyed by the Texans. Justin Herbert really struggled with that defense. I know these are different years, different teams, right? But I worry a little bit about Justin Herbert with the offensive line that the Chargers have, or lack thereof right now. And then that Houston defense going into SoFi. So watchability, excitability, I still would go with Niners-Bears just because I think the excitement level. I mean, look at the totals in that one. 50.5 for Niners Bears versus 39.5 for Texans Chargers. That's quite the drastic difference. So I gotta go Bears Niners, even fandom aside.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, the totals speak for itself, right? You like defense, Texans Chargers probably the game for you. And again, with a total of 50.5, the Bears against the Niners, what a big game that is gonna be. I would agree. I think it's that one. And it's another game for us. I think this is kind of the first game where we're going to see if San Francisco is kind of for real with this new iteration, with all the injuries that they have. We've spent so much time, Kate, talking about the Bears and whether or not they're for real and whether or not they're a good team. You know, ever since Fred Warner and Nick Bosa both got hurt, the two good teams that San Francisco has played have been Houston and the Rams. They lost both of those games by two scores. They've beaten the Giants, Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, and Tennessee. Those have been the other five games in that stretch since they suffered the injuries with both Warner and Bosa. So, you know, they really haven't played anybody. And again, they're playing Rivers tonight with Indianapolis. So their final 2 weeks of the season, they get the Bears at home and they get the Seahawks at home. The Niners know they're going to be in the playoffs. They clinched a playoff berth last night. So I'm just kind of excited to see, like, are the defensive injuries finally going to catch up with San Francisco? Like, we've all been asking ourselves that. You're talking about two of the best defensive players in the league going up against that Bears run game and that Ben Johnson offense. I'm excited to see it because, you know, we're all so focused on, oh, are the Bears for real? Are they as good as their record is? Yeah. I kind of want to see if San Francisco is the real deal. So I would agree. I'm looking forward to that game on Sunday night. Eagles-Bills is also going to be interesting, Kate. Bills are only a 2.5-point favorite at home with a total of 45. Super interesting line. feels like we're still giving the Eagles a ton of respect, but the Bills have been so up and down this season. You know, it feels like they have a great game and then they back it up with the dud, and then they have a dud and they back it up with a great game. You know, they're just like, there's no consistency with Buffalo. And they struggled with the Browns yesterday. They only won that game by 3 points. Now they come back at home. I don't know. Like, I would go with the Bills against Philly at home. But again, that line only being 2.5 to me seems just like a little fishy. Like, that just feels like it's too easy.
It does. I thought this would be at least a field goal in favor of the Bills. Mm-hmm. But you use the word consistency. That's probably the right word. Like, the Bills have been inconsistent, but also so have the Eagles. Like, it took the Eagles until the second half against the Commanders to really get going in that game just the other night or the other afternoon on Saturday. So, like, I'm not sold on the Eagles either, where I would have more confidence right now in the Bills. Like, the Eagles, after those three losses they had, like, beating Las Vegas 31-0. Sure, you smoked them, but like, is that a great win? No. Even the Washington win, like, didn't really do a whole lot for me. Didn't show me a ton. Sure, maybe your offense looked like it got on track a little bit more, but again, look at the defenses you played. I would have to go with the Bills in that one, lay in the 2.5, especially being at home. They've been playing as kind of up and down as they have been. And, you know, sneaking past Cleveland wasn't anything great yesterday, but they still have four straight wins in a row. I think they're playing some of their better football right now than you could have said about them earlier on or through the middle portion of the season. So that is probably game number 3 on my watch list in terms of excitability, but I still think that the Bills are the right side there.
You know what other game is so fascinating to me next week is the Raiders and the Giants, a battle of 2-13 teams. But the reason is, Kate, the Raiders are a favorite at home. They're -115 against the Giants. And it's a massive game for the number one pick in the draft, right? Two worst records in the league. Whoever loses that game probably gets the number one pick. So it's actually like a really fascinating game from that standpoint, because, you know, the players aren't going to tank in that game, but certainly the front offices are going to try to, and they want that number one pick. I thought that was interesting. Like, the Raiders is a favorite at home. I don't know what to do with that game. Total is 42.5. Raiders were impressive yesterday. There was a second there where maybe you thought they were going to win that game against Houston. Their team total yesterday was 10.5 points against
the
Texans.
That's so brutal.
And they ended up scoring 21. So they did a pretty good job. I don't know. You got any thoughts on that game? Like, would you take the Raiders at home? Would you back the Giants, or are you just completely staying away?
I have to completely stay away because, like you said, both of these teams want to lose. So, like, who wants to lose more? And right. I know once players step on the field, like, they are playing to win. They're playing to put some good tape out there for their next contract, wherever that may be, their next team. And so, like, once the game starts, it's hard to say, okay, both these teams want to lose. But I don't know what you can trust in that game, because you even look at like props and you're like, okay, well, Ashton Jeanty should get, a ton of carries. Ashton Jeanty may have a big game, but like, what if Ashton Jeanty sits a couple more snaps than usual because the Raiders don't want to win that game? Like, there goes your Ashton Jeanty props. So that's why I feel like it's hard to bet in those types of games where no one wants to win. They're both tanking for the number one seed. So I can't play anything in that game, PJ. I mean, honestly, you threw me off when you said this is an interesting one, Raiders and Giants, because I don't know how that can be interesting other than the angle that I understand of they both want to lose for that number one seed.
You know, Kate, when it's July 12th and we're in the dog days of summer, you're going to be wishing you had Raiders and Giants on. Aren't we all? It's so true. But we'll see how that one plays out. We also got the Christmas Day slate on Thursday. And for as good as the Thanksgiving Day slate was, especially on paper and how some of those games turned out, they were exciting finishes. This Christmas Day slate, Kate, we're going to have a lot of backup quarterbacks in these games. Cowboys and Commanders. Dallas is a 6-point favorite on the road. That game starts at 1:00. Josh Johnson is probably going to be your starter for Washington. And then the Lions are at the Vikings. Max Brosmer probably going to be your starter there for Minnesota. And then the Broncos are on the road at Kansas City, and Denver is a 13-point favorite at the Chiefs. No Mahomes, as we know. Gardner Minshew also, it looks like, tore his ACL. So Chris Oladokun is going to start for the Chiefs, and Denver is a 13-point favorite on the road. So, Kate, I'll ask you, if you had to back any of those home dogs on Christmas with those backup quarterbacks, is there any team that you would take plus the points?
I mean, one, who is the backup quarterback? Who is the Chiefs quarterback? I have never heard that kid's name before.
Either have I, and you know how much college football I've watched.
I know, Kate. That's surprising.
I have never heard of Chris Oladokun. I saw him come into the game yesterday, and I was like, where's Minshew? And then I realized he's not hurt. And then I've never heard of this kid. But yeah, Chris went to South Dakota State, 28 years old. 11 for 16 yesterday, 111 yards against the Titans. So, I mean, you know, played pretty decent. He's got Andy Reid in his quarter, which definitely helps. They do have some weapons offensively that they can use. I mean, 13's a lot of points. Like, I don't know. I could never bet Denver in that game. Could they cover? Absolutely. I could just never lay 13 points with the team on a short week on the road in a divisional game. Like, are the Chiefs still trying at this point? I mean, like, that's fair to question. Who knows if they are?
I don't think they should. I think the Chiefs should try and lose out. When do the Chiefs have the luxury of having a somewhat high draft pick? They don't. That's because true. They win every year. So, like, lose out, get better draft stock, draft a, you know, higher first round player. I'm with you, though. 13.5 is a lot, especially if you do have, like, a lot of the Chiefs starters. Sure, your quarterback is completely different, but if a lot of those starters are out there, it's Christmas Day, it's prime time, you know everyone is going to be watching you. All eyes are on you in this slot. So still is a lot to, like, a lot of the pride to play for that I think those Chiefs players will have. I was going to go Commanders because, like, the volatility of the Cowboys. Like, you just kind of week to week, Dak can be awesome. The defense can look good, or the defense can be garbage and Dak can turn the ball over a little bit. So I certainly don't trust Minnesota with Max Brosmer at home as an underdog.
No. I agree with you. Washington would be the play for me, plus the points, because you said it. I mean, Dallas's defense these past few weeks has been so bad. Even yesterday against the Chargers, they could not get off the field on third down. So, like, Josh Johnson isn't great, but he's definitely going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and especially if Quinnen Williams doesn't play for Dallas. I'd like a 7 with Washington. If we get a 7, I think that's going to be an official bet for me. I'll be on the Commanders. I'm with you on the Lions. I actually like Detroit in that game. Before yesterday, Kate, Dan Campbell and the Lions were 15-0 straight up off of a loss and 14-1 against the spread in their last 15 games off of a loss. So now that we get them off of two straight losses, I definitely think I want to bet them, and I want to lay the 5.5 against Max Brosmer. So Detroit's going to be a bet for me. Washington probably will be too if we get plus 7. I think I'll just stay away from Broncos and Chiefs. But again, plus 13, like, if I had to bet the game, as gross as it is, I think I'd probably bet Kansas City.
I love the Lions. I mean, I know they have to have some help from the Packers to get into the postseason, but the Lions are in a desperation spot. And off of those two losses, Dan Campbell, a standalone game, like, 5.5 is not enough. I know the Brian Flores defense is great, and that's kind of what's kept Minnesota in some of these games where their quarterback play has been subpar, and I certainly expect their quarterback play to be subpar again on Christmas with Brosmer and how he's performed this year, but I don't think 5.5 is enough for this Lions team with the situation that they're in and coming off two losses. So that's a bet right now for me. I think this number only moves in favor of Detroit despite them being on the road. So I mean, if you like Detroit, I'm going to jump it now. That would be my recommendation.
Totally agree. I think that closes at 6.5, maybe even touches 7. So at 5.5, I'm with you. I like the Lions. So those are the three games on Christmas on Thursday. We mentioned Texans and Chargers is on Saturday. The other Saturday game that we get is an important one for both teams, Packers and Ravens. The Packers can clinch a playoff berth with the win. The Ravens need to win that game. They need to hope that the Steelers lose to the Browns. Kate, I actually think the Ravens are going to win that game because this is what they do. And like, they're just not going to make it easy on the Steelers. You know, everybody just assumed the Steelers would lose yesterday to the Lions and the Ravens would kind of get a free pass in the Patriots game. In typical Steelers fashion, they win. So we don't even know who's going to start for the Packers. We know at the very worst for the Ravens, it's going to be Huntley. I don't think Lamar's going to go. So I'm assuming it's going to be Huntley. We'll see if it's Love. We'll see if it's Willis. We'll see if it's somebody else. But I like the Ravens in that game. They're just much better on the road than they are at home. So I'll take Baltimore plus the 2.5 against the Packers. That's what we got for week 17 in the NFL. When we come back, time to talk some college football.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, we've talked plenty NFL on the show today. I'm talking college football. Got the college football playoff underway. First round matchups have been decided. We got the quarterfinals set. Kay, let's talk about some of that. Let's talk about some of our takeaways from what we saw in the first round of the college football playoff. Let's start with the game on Friday night, Bama and Oklahoma, where it was looking really ugly for the Tide early. They were down 17-0. And then they finally get a first down. They score a touchdown on fourth down. And then the play that really swung it was when Oklahoma dropped, at the very least, a massive play that puts them inside the red zone, but probably a touchdown to make it 24-7. Then they muff the punt. Bama recovers. They kick a field goal, and then they get the pick six. And they never look back. They win 34-24. So I guess the big like takeaway and conversation going into the Rose Bowl against Indiana, like, is Bama good? You know, is that just more about like Oklahoma just kind of like choking and giving that game away? Or did you see enough where Bama kind of looked like their old self to now where you think going up against the Hoosiers that they can keep it close or maybe even win that game?
I think what Bama has to do, PJ, and you are the Bama expert here. I mean, having gone there, you watch Bama probably a lot more closely than I do. But like Alabama has to play a complete game. I don't think you can play one half or three quarters versus a team like Indiana. And I felt like that's what Alabama did. Like they kind of got punched in the mouth early and then finally woke up and were like, oh, well, we're in the college football playoff. I guess it's time to get going a little bit. And so I just worry about that aspect of Alabama's game at all. Like if you have, and maybe it's not, they weren't ready to go, but like if you have a poor quarter against Indiana, and especially against this Indiana defense that is what, number two in the country behind Ohio State in terms of scoring defense, like that's what worries me about Alabama more so than them not being like up to the task or talented enough to compete with Indiana. But I mean, again, you're the expert. Like, what did you see in that game? I guess I was going to say late, but like overall that would have you concerned or have you, you know, thinking positive that they could take down number one Indiana?
Well, I love what I saw after they got down 17-0. I think the biggest two things that stood out to me was that they finally got a pass rush in the second half. They've been lacking that a lot this season, and they finally got after Mateer. But the most important thing was that Ty Simpson started to look like himself again. I mean, Kate, like middle of the season when they were rolling, people forget. I mean, there was a stretch this year where Bama won four straight games against ranked teams. You know, like they had an impressive stretch. Ty was playing great. And then these last 4 or 5 weeks when the offense has really struggled, it's because Ty hasn't played all that well. But something flipped in that second quarter and in that second half where he started to look like himself. And they didn't even get Jeremy Bernard going at all in that game against Oklahoma, who's their best receiver. And then Ryan Williams, who we all kind of keep waiting to turn the corner. I just have accepted at this point it's just not happening. But if it ever does, I mean, the talent is there. So it was all Brooks and it was all Horton in that game against Oklahoma. So if certainly their most two talent, if their top two most talented receivers and their best one, Jeremy Bernard especially, can step up, that should be good. That should be good news for Alabama. I'm excited, though, about this Indiana game, Kate. I really am. Me and my friends have wanted this game for the last couple of years. Like, we have wanted to play Indiana because Bama matches up, I think, really well with the Hoosiers. Over the last couple of years, even in the Saban era, the quarterbacks that have given them trouble are always the mobile ones. You know, when they have to worry about a guys that can beat them with their legs, that's where they really struggle. When they play quarterbacks against like Mendoza, who's a terrific player, Heisman Trophy winner, but he's a pocket passer, that's like what Bama's defense is built on. That's the kind of quarterbacks that they have success against. And you saw Oklahoma, you know, in that game, they attacked Bama a lot over the middle of the field. Like that's where they were generating a lot of their explosive pass plays. If you watch Indiana, they want to attack on outside the numbers. Like so much of what they do is Mendoza making these back shoulder throws or Surratt or Charlie B making these great contested catches. And Bama's got really good corners. They got a very good secondary. I just think it's a really good matchup for them. And offensively, or defensively, I should say, for Indiana, Stephen Daly, their best defensive player, their defensive lineman, got hurt celebrating the Big Ten championship game. He's out for the season, and he's their best defensive player. That's going to be a huge loss. But you think about Indiana this year, right? They're undefeated. When they have gone up against teams that have very good talent, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, all these games have been close in the fourth quarter. Bama's got NFL talent all over the field, and we're getting 7 points. All Bama's going to hear, Kate, the next week and a half is that they got fortunate to beat Oklahoma. They got lucky. Now they're stepping up in class, and Indiana's going to roll them. Kellen DeBoer is 20-5 as a head coach against ranked opponents, and he's awesome as an underdog. Man, I see some 7.5s out there. I see 7. I don't know if they win the game, but getting all those points, I absolutely love it. I think they're going to cover that spread.
I'm with you. I would take the 7.5 with Alabama as well. Would you ever consider, PJ, Alabama right now to win the national championship at 18-1? I mean, they have the third longest odds to win the title. You have Texas Tech, Oregon ahead of them, obviously Ohio State, Indiana, and Georgia. 18-1 on Texas Tech. Like, you get past Indiana, and I think Alabama could beat either Oregon or Texas Tech in the next round, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're in the title game.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win it, but from the price standpoint, like you were talking about, I think it could be worth a bet. I don't think they're going to beat the winner of Oregon or Texas Tech. It wouldn't shock me, though, at all if they ended up winning that game. And whoever they end up playing, the spread is going to be under a field goal, right? If they play Oregon, Ducks are probably going to be like a 2.5-point favorite in that game. They play Texas Tech. That game's probably a pick 'em. And then you're likely looking at them playing Georgia or Ohio State in the national title game. And again, I think if they play Georgia, that line's probably like 5.5, 6.5. Ohio State, same kind of thing. So it might be worth a bet, Kate, just because I think it's possible they make it to the title game, and then you're getting them 18-1, and they definitely would not be that on the money line. But I don't think they're going to win it. And I think if they do get past Indiana, I think they lose to whoever wins Oregon and Texas Tech, and we're going to get into that game in a moment, and I'm very excited for that one. But yeah, the price, Kate, I think alone could be worth a flyer. Okay. So I think they're live to beat Indiana, but I would definitely take them plus the points in that game. The other marquee matchup that we had in the first round was A&M and Miami, where if you like defense, that was the game for you. Miami, a 10-3 win over A&M. Now Ohio State is a 10-point favorite over the Hurricanes. Is that too many points? I think the Miami defense was impressed us all. They were awesome in that game. But do you trust that offense enough, Kate, against the best defense in college football to keep it within 10 points?
No, I wonder if Miami can score at all in this game against the best defense. I know Texas A&M's defense was also great, and Miami struggled, and they gave up a couple points with some of those missed field goals, missed opportunities offensively. But I don't know if you get anything against Ohio State. I specifically like the under in this game because I do think that Miami's defense is legit. Is it legit enough to shut out or like really stifle Ohio State's offense? Probably not, but it's good enough not to give up 25, 30 points to Ohio State, I think. So the under would be my favorite play in here. But I think that the receiving core for Ohio State is just going to be too much for Miami's offense to continue to keep up with in order to keep it within 9.5, 10 points.
I agree with you. I think Miami's defense is going to be able to get stops in this game. I think they're really good. Kate, I'm looking at Miami's team total for this game. It's at 16.5 points. Do you want to take a guess at how many times? Do you want to take a guess at how many times Ohio State has given up more than 17 points this season?
Probably. Well, when you say it like that, I almost want to say never, but probably twice, once or twice this season.
Zero times.
Under, please.
They gave up 16 to Illinois. That was the most. They gave up 14 to Penn State. Purdue and UCLA both scored 10. Rutgers, Michigan scored 9. Texas scored 7. And then Indiana, who they lost to, only scored 13 points. I mean, 16.5 with Miami. And it's not even like juiced all that crazy either. I mean, you only got to lay minus 135. I thought it'd be like minus 190, minus 200 for that. But it's minus 135. You're getting Ohio State, though, off a loss, multiple weeks to prepare in a playoff game when they're going to be ultra focused. How is Miami scoring 17 points? I mean, Ohio State hasn't given up that all year. So I think that's the play. I think they cover the spread. But I think the Miami team total under is the bet in that game at 16.5. Because Kate, ultimately, the game is going to come down to Carson Beck. He's just going to have to make plays in that game. They didn't need him to really make any big-time plays against A&M. They were able to lean on their defense, their ground game. They missed a bunch of field goals. Like, if their kicker just makes a couple of those field goals, they win that game pretty comfortably. But because he was missing all those field goals, it was a close game. They ended up scoring the late touchdown. I don't know how Miami scores more than 17 points in that game against Ohio State. I mean, that line is almost like too wild to me to be like, do they know something that we don't? Like, is Miami going to score in the 20s in this game? I just can't trust Carson Beck against that defense. I can't do it. So, yeah, are you with me on that Miami team total under?
Yeah, I have to be, which is so interesting. I've heard a lot of people that I respect in the betting space and in the college football space say that they think Miami can upset Ohio. And I think Ohio State, and I think that's the wildest take that we've maybe heard this entire postseason. I'm not even going to say I'll eat my words if that happens, but like There's just no way that happens. Miami, to your point of those numbers, like, yes, team total under on Miami, and yes, there's no way Miami upsets Ohio State.
I would be shocked if Miami wins. I don't think it would be, like, insane, though. They are a super talented team. They might have the best player in the sport, Reuben Bain. They have a terrific offensive line, good running backs, good receivers. It's just like, I don't trust Mario in that kind of game, and I just, Carson Beck's not the kind of quarterback I want to upset Ohio State. So I get it, but like you, Kate, I would never bet that, and I'd honestly lay it with Ohio State if I had to. Third and final hour, Bet Sweats up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.